Fred Film Radio, Vilnius International Film Festival, Lithuania.
Joining us at this time is Saulė Bliuvaitė, director of the Lithuanian short film Limousine from the shorts competition of the Vilnius Film Festival. Saulė, welcome to the show.
Hi.
It's a pleasure to talk with you. We're going to be talking about your latest short film. It's titled Limousine, and it was screened in the short competition of the Vilnius Film Festival. Just to introduce it a little bit for our listeners, just very, very briefly, you essentially filmed groups of people from different generations in a limousine, as the title suggests, and sort of observed how they behaved in this lavish setting. The first question that I'd like to ask you is, what was the origin of this idea?
Well, actually, I had this idea while I was studying in the Lithuanian Academy of Music and Theater, you know, where I was doing a bachelor in film studies. We had an assignment which was called Night in Vilnius. And our professor, a well-known documentary filmmaker, Audrius Stonys, he asked us to film something in our city for 1 hour. So I thought that I always wanted to see what's inside those limousines that were cruising, you know, in the city in the nighttime. So I took my camera and I filmed something in the limousine, and I was fascinated because I didn't expect what I saw there. And, you know, it was this crazy, delirious atmosphere there. So, well, later I wanted to make a film with more groups of people. So, yeah.
What is it that fascinated you about limousines?
You know, it always fascinated me that there is a vehicle that it's meant to not to take you from point A to point B, but it was designed so that people could sit inside and do something, you know, and spend time as in a bar together, you know. So I was fascinated with this vehicle. I was always thinking, you know, does it make a difference if you sit inside a bar or if you're riding somewhere? What's the point of doing that? And, well, yeah, I thought, what is it about? Do you feel better if you feel that you're going somewhere? So from this question, everything, you know, started. I mean, it started from the question, why do you need to have a feeling of going somewhere, of moving somewhere while you are, you know, hanging out with your friends?
Does it also, like, does that fascination also entail an interest in perhaps in investigating the symbolic status of a limousine within society?
Yeah.
Being in a limousine, you know, you may be a powerful person riding in a limousine. It gives you that feeling of being important or famous or a celebrity.
Yeah, that's a great point because, you know, I was growing up in Lithuania during, you know, the beginning of 21st century, and the limousine was something, you know, out of this world. And you know, it has those dark windows where you cannot see what's inside. And when I was a child, you know, the limousine is passing by and you think, you know, the president is there or some movie star. And yeah, there is a status and a sense of power about that. So yeah, that was a good point.
Yeah, you just reminded me that when I was a kid growing up, and I mean, I was born in Genoa. Then grew up in Ireland. I remember there was a limousine riding around town for a couple of days and it would pass by our school. And, you know, the kids in the schoolyard just got this idea in their head that they were absolutely certain that it was Sylvester Stallone, which of course probably it wasn't. But, you know, that's what we knew absolutely, that he, you know, any day he would pop out of that car, or that limo, and just, like, you know, be Sylvester Stallone around Genoa. But anyways, how did it work? Did you invite the people to ride on a limo, or had they already planned to do it themselves and then you would just approach them that way?
Yeah, no, there were some people that we were shooting. You know, they initially ordered the limousine and we asked if we can shoot them. And there were some people which I wanted to add for this, you know, diversity. So we asked some groups of people, some friends, to take the limousine for 1 hour. and to let us film them. So, yeah.
Well, what did they say?
They were really excited about that because they got a free ride in the limousine. You know?
Yeah. And were they going somewhere or was it just you're in the limousine and that's it?
We told all of the people that they could do whatever they wanted and they could go where they want and, you know, get out of the limousine as many times as they wanted and do whatever they wanted. So they chose, you know, different places where to go. But many people wanted to go to the night shop to buy alcohol.
Right.
So there are a few segments, you know, in the film where you can know where are they going.
Yeah, it's interesting because I'm just asking myself what I would do if I was in a limo. I'd probably get it to park outside any of the nightclubs in town and just get out, pop into the nightclub for about 5 seconds and then pop back into the limo and do that at every nightclub in town. What would you do, incidentally, if you were to just ride a limo?
I don't know. I think I would go around the places where my friends live, you know, and surprise them and just... when they go out, I just would drag them inside the car. And
I was thinking, Saule, is it difficult to plan a shoot in a restricted setting like this one? Because after all, a limousine may be a big car, but it's still a car.
Yeah, it was. It wasn't very hard technically, but we had some challenges, especially with the sound, because, you know, we had to put a lot of microphones in the inside of the car because all of the passengers wanted to listen to music, very loud music. But we couldn't restrict them, you know, because they would, they felt better when the music was blasting very loud. And so they could talk, you know, about the things that they were talking. Because if you would, wouldn't let to play the music, they would be, you know, shy and wouldn't feel good.
Yeah, exactly. So that was a challenge that you had to overcome. But
yeah.
You set up the microphones and then was there someone in the limo actually filming?
The cameraman was inside and I was driving in the passenger seat next to the driver. So yeah, most of the time, sometimes I would just go behind the limo in the separate car and just try to catch the signal for the monitor that I had.
Yeah. And of course you didn't know what would happen. So this is an observational documentary, basically. You didn't want to intrude or interfere with the actions.
Yeah, it was a very good experience for me because this was the first documentary that I made. And it was really, you know, we had to shoot a lot of hours. I think we have like 15 to 17 hours of footage because, you know, we had to film everything. And sometimes we had two cameras with the second cameraman. So yeah, we had to shoot a lot and we wouldn't know what will happen. So
right. And yeah, like you said, this is your first documentary, but you did I think this is your fifth short, right? This is your fifth short film. Your previous ones had been works of fiction.
Yeah, actually it's my fourth.
Oh, your fourth. Okay.
Yeah, but the previous shorts were fiction.
What is it that interests you about the documentary form and that prompted you to make this debut?
You know, it fascinated me in the process because when I started to make it, I was thinking in the same way that I think when I'm making fiction. So I just thought what the film will look like and what's going to happen there and how it's going to start, how is it going to end. But when we were, you know, in the middle, in the shooting of this film, I realized that it's not gonna go the way I planned. And so I just, during all the days that we were shooting, I was just trying to figure out what kind of film I'm gonna make. I had the initial ideas, but they were shifting, you know, all the time. And so basically, when I knew that I have enough weird moments and that we're gonna end the shooting, But so I knew that we're gonna end, but I didn't still know what the film is gonna look like. And, you know, the film was born in the editing room.
And do you think, just looking at the footage that you filmed, was there something that you understood, you know, considering that you did film different generations of people, about the ways in which different generations behaved in a setting like this? I mean, what were some of the things that you maybe discovered about the human condition, or just human nature in general?
Well, you know, I thought that it's going to be so different, you know, that the people from different generations are going to act like, you know, the day and night. But what I realized when I was listening to all the conversations, and that's what I put in film, you know, that the people are talking somehow, they're talking about different things, but somehow it's all the same. And for me, it felt like it's not different people, but they're all the same, that somehow they're just one group going from different stages of their life. Yeah, so what I realized that we're all in the same boat.
Yeah, in a way, when you think about it, the limousine with all those people in it, it's almost like this thing that you're in, but you have no control over the direction in which it goes. So it could be a metaphor for life itself.
Yeah.
Okay, so getting back to the fact that this is your first documentary film, but also the fact that it's an observational documentary, do you think that observing, the act of observing, or just an observational process in general, is part of your filmmaking process, even when you're working on a fiction work, maybe part of the way in which you put your films together, you research your topics?
Well, I think that the observation is in general the most important thing in making art, you know, because you can construct the world in a way that you think how does it look like, what it is. But sometimes as a director, you feel like some kind of god, you know, constructing new world, which all the viewers have to go by its rules. So for me, this documentary kind of reminded me that all the things, all the beauty comes from the observation. And then you have to observe first, and then to put this puzzle together. So somehow this film, making of this film, somehow it humbled me in a way, and I'm really grateful for that.
Do you think, what are you working on at the moment now? Are you going to continue with the documentaries, or are you planning fiction again?
Well, actually, I'm in a pre-production stage of my first feature film. It's fiction, and yeah, I just finished the script, and yeah, I'm in the pre-production of the shooting, so, well, I hope it goes well.
And have these COVID times been impacting your creativity in any way? Have you found it a hindrance? Or some people that I've spoken with have actually found it helpful, because with the lockdowns, they've been forced to stay at home and work on that script and just plan everything.
Yeah, well, actually, it was a good time to work on the script, because I was working on the two feature film scripts now this past year. So it was a great time to, you know, to focus on that. But in a way, when you're stuck and you have a writer's block, which I think everyone experiences, so, well, you want to go outside, you want to go to the bar, you know, and drink some cocktails and just refresh your mind and just mingle in the crowd of people, and you cannot do that. So it was hard to overcome the moments when you lacking inspiration.
Yeah, I understand that. All right, Saula, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you, and I wish you all the best with this film, but also with your feature film project too. We'll be looking forward to seeing it soon.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.